Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday. It's November 15, 2018. Good to be back with you. Still in the motherland, wrapping up my portion of the pilgrimage at Kelly Walquist from WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, and I just finished guiding almost 30 women around this amazing country, which is so filled of so many places to remind us of the big picture of our Catholic faith and who we are in Christ. The pilgrims actually went home yesterday on the 14th, and I'm hanging around until tomorrow on the 16th, but we do have two shows that we prepared for you today and tomorrow, so I think you'll enjoy the interviews that Andrew lined up. And it was really a great 10 days, a very busy 10 days, but it was a little bit of a different itinerary for us. Oh, and by the way, I want to thank Vanessa Denha Garmo for doing an excellent job sitting behind the microphone for me, filling in as she always does. Check out her great work at her website, denhacommunications.com. You can also find her, of course, here at Ave Maria Radio. But anyway, it was a unique itinerary. Normally, we would start in Rome. The group would fly into Rome. Then we'd go over to Assisi and use Assisi for our base for 4 or 5 days, and then go to Loreto and other holy sites in that part of Italy along the Adriatic. This time, we decided to do something different. This is our third annual trip. And so we had the group fly into Milan and meet us there. And we began with a tour of this incredible metropolis, which is one of the capitals, of course, of fashion, but also a big capital, most importantly, of faith. If you look at the Duomo, that's where St. Ambrose was from, that's where St. Ambrose baptized St. Augustine. And, of course, in that area of Italy are also many other great saints. Whether it's Milan or Torino, there's so much history there in the church. And the Duomo is just fantastic and breathtaking. So I'm so glad the ladies had a chance to see that. And we also took some time to visit beautiful Lake Como. Como is only about an hour north or so of Milan. And it's a whole different experience because you get out of the big city and you're along this lake that looks like a painting with the mountains reflecting on the beautiful calm waters of the lake. And we took a boat tour and had a wine tasting in Bellagio. We try to combine the faith aspect with a little bit of fun and relaxation, because with everything especially that is going on in our lives and when we take off to go on a pilgrimage, we really need that downtime to enjoy the beauty of God's green earth. And there's no place like Italy to enjoy that, because the beauty is just so incredible and all over the place. So after a few days in Milan, and also after touring the sites connected with St. Gianna Barettamola and hearing from her son, a special talk he gave us on our opening night, Pierluigi came by and said hello and chatted with us. Dr. Gianna Emanuela, her daughter, normally joins us, but she was stateside doing a conference, so her brother spoke in, which was awesome. Then we went down to stunning Florence, or Firenze, as we say in Italy, and of course we saw the David and the Duomo there, had two nights in Florence, and it was on to a tour in Siena and Bologna. I had never been to Bologna. That was really neat, my first time in Bologna. And then a beautiful bus ride through the Tuscan hills and down to Rome, where we saw St. Peter's and so much of the incredible churches and the major basilicas in Rome and towards some other sites as well. So just jam-packed, and had a great time getting to know these beautiful sisters in Christ across the country and why they decided to come on a pilgrimage to Italy. You know, you will be, if you read Our Sunday Visitor, the National Catholic Register, always have great reflections on our faith. And I have been for the past 10 years or so writing an Eye on Culture column for Our Sunday Visitor. And I was thinking a lot about everything that we've been through as a church when I sat down before I left to write this particular column. And I thought about how an attitude of gratitude for everything in our faith is really important. And this ties into pilgrimage, and you're wondering, well, how does this tie into pilgrimage? Well, simply because when we go on a pilgrimage, whether it's to Israel, whether it's to Italy, whether it's to another part of the world, or even somewhere in our country where we visit, let's say, an historic church or basilica, it really should give us a bigger perspective. Sometimes we're in the midst of a crisis, and I know the Bishops meeting is going on right now, and EW10 is there covering this in full force, and Al Cresta is broadcasting live, and we'll have more for you later today. But when we're in the midst of a crisis, and it's affecting all of us so personally because it's our church and we love the church, it's really crucial for us to take a breath, to step back, and to look at the big picture. Now, this is not to minimize the crisis that we're in, because there's no excuse of just sitting back and saying, oh, you know, these types of things has happened before, it'll be fine. Well, yes, God's got this, but we don't just sit by and allow evil to occur. Because when we say that about this, then why do we work to fight abortion? Why do we stand up for marriage? Why do we stand up for truth, period? So we still have to be active. But we also have to face this with a sense of reality versus our only being controlled by our own fears of the situation. When you travel to places of history based on our faith and you walk in the footprints of the saints, you see what the church has endured and how the saints, the great saints that went before us, were able to stay strong and to stand up for the church and rally others to do the same. Then you realize, for such a time as this, that we're in the middle of a situation like this, what a unique and an amazing time to be Catholic. And right before I left, maybe you were one of those who tuned in. We had close to 1,000 people that registered for the webinar that I had with Al Cresta and Father John Ricardo, talking about where we go from here. And this was about 2 weeks before the actual bishops meeting, which is underway this week. And that's what Father John and Al were saying. As frustrated as we all are and the pain that we're going through, this is also an extremely important time to be alive as a Catholic. Because think about it, brothers and sisters, for such a time as this, for whatever reason, God has chosen us to be alive at this time and to really join together with brothers and sisters in the church to make a difference. So I just want you to keep that in mind. And my article in our Sunday Visitor, which is coming out right now, as a matter of fact, is entitled An Attitude of Gratitude. And I'm reflecting about a woman who shared with me how heartbroken she was over the church crisis. And she shared these thoughts on Facebook after I posted a reminder that we were going to Italy and that there were still some openings on the trip. And she said, given everything that's been going on, a trip to Rome and the Vatican has been wiped off of my bucket list. I now have absolutely no desire to be anywhere near St. Peter's or other famous Catholic sites. As a matter of fact, I want to keep running as far away from there as possible. As I say in my article, again, which is entitled An Attitude of Gratitude, the comments to me were heartbreaking, especially since this is not a woman who is a fence sitter when it comes to the faith. She's normally very energetic, upbeat, and encouraging, but she, like so many of us, has been deeply hurt. But my suggestion to her and to all of us is that we shouldn't be running away from these amazing sites and places. We should be running toward them. And if we can't get there physically as in a pilgrimage, then we should think about this and pray about this in terms of what these churches, basilicas, holy sites mean in the big picture of things and the history of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith who's much bigger, which is much bigger than what's happening right now. And of course, never, ever forget the gifts of the sacraments and the saints. So just some thoughts as we wrap up our pilgrimage. We'll have more tomorrow on a Friday as I head back to home from Roma and spending some time with some friends here in Rome, including author Paul Batty and my dear friend Joan Lewis. All right, coming up on the show today, we are going to be speaking with Greg and Julie Alexander, looking at how the church crisis is impacting marriages. What does this mean when you look at this from a marriage perspective? Some very interesting insights. You can find out more about their beautiful ministry at thealexanderhouse.org. And then a really cool book from our friend Chris Stefanik. It's called I Am, Rewrite Your Name, Reroute Your Life. Super important to take a look at what Chris is saying, because so many of us get stuck in, let's say, a role that we think we are forced to fit into. We define ourselves maybe by our mistakes in the past, or we put a label on ourselves and we can't move out of that. But God has so much more for us in store. And Chris does a beautiful job of explaining how and why we can tap into this. Again, the book is I Am, Rewrite Your Name, Rewrite Your Life, from our friend, author, speaker, and international evangelist Chris Stefanik. His website is reallifecatholic.com. And of course, he was just at the family celebration and had a great time leading folks in prayer and great talks. Chris Stefanik will be joining us on this morning's special program special edition of Catholic Connection. Once again, thanks to Vanessa Denhagarmo and Andrew for holding down the fort as they do so well. And we will be right back with more information, and I'll share a little bit here and there on what we've experienced during our pilgrimage. Stay tuned. It's a Thursday morning, November 15th. You're listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN. We'll be right back.
Catherine Hadro.
Every week, I get together with a team of pro-life experts to shine the light of truth on abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and the culture of death. We'll help to inform you so you can become engaged in the pro-life movement. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, more than a show, a call to action.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly with Catherine Hadro, Sunday morning at 10:30 on EWTN Radio.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Our mission is to transform the world one woman at a time through a spiritual program of formation that helps them to see who they are as daughters of the Most High God and to enjoy the gift that God has given to them by virtue of their femininity.
Women of Grace with Jeanette Bankovic-Williams. This morning, 11 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Always an honor and a privilege to discuss the great work of Julia and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House. Deacon Dom and I work closely with them on marriage talks and presentations and are learning so much from what they do to make a difference in marriage. And we're going to talk, it's the month of November, of course, and so much going on in our church and all kinds of meetings going on and trying to get the bottom of the abuse scandal. And in many ways, Julie and Greg, what we see going on in the church and trying to heal these issues, some of the biggest problems are coming from something that you deal with all the time as marriage ministers, in that people don't want to deal with the issues. They don't want to talk about the yucky stuff. They want to push it down, push it away, and think that everything will be fine. Well, that's not working for us too well in the church, nor does it work well in marriage. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. How are you, dear?
And I'm well, and I'm just curious in terms of, you see this, Greg, I'll start with you, coming up over and over again, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, with all the different situations that we encounter in marriage relationships that brings that hurt and pain, as you mentioned, we just want to stuff that. We want to get away from it because of the fact that it does hurt, that it does bring this pain, and now let me just escape. When, in fact, what we need to do is face those issues head on and then look for some type of healing, if you will, that's going to put us back in that state of normalcy, whatever normalcy is anymore, but then now to be able to proceed forward and not allowing those things of the past to hamper or to harm us or to keep us from being able to be the full person that God intended us to be.
Julie, how do you finally break through with the couple and get them to understand that they need to really address these issues, whatever the issues might be?
Well, it just becomes so evident, Teresa, that over the past 18 and a half years, of all the couples we meet with, literally the underlying issue that we all have, the foundational issue, is lack of understanding of, one, God's plan for marriage, but then God's plan for sex and sexuality in our marriage relationship. All of the confusion that we have today, and the majority of people have this common bond that we share. I mean, most people, we experience it, we are here because of it, and yet nobody wants to talk about it, and everybody's going in this light of saying, okay, if we don't understand it, and if we don't want to talk about it, because for years, you know, we can't even say the word sex, and yet then sex comes about in our culture the total opposite way in which God intended for us to experience it. And, you know, if we just look at that, Teresa, that God is, he's the creator of all things, to include our sex and our sexuality, and he put it in the confines of marriage between husband and wife, period. Anything outside of that, those parameters, causes tremendous pain and destruction.
And we can see that even within the church and what's been revealed not only back in 2002 or before that, but now since this last summer, as we know, our summer of suffering in the church. And I know that you've dealt also with people who have experienced sexual abuse in childhood, and they're not dealing with it, and the families are still in denial. Those are cases that often can hurt marriages, correct? And Greg, I'll go back to you first.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, that baggage, so to speak, that we bring with us that is left to contaminate and to infect, if you will, our existing relationships now and as we try to move forward, it just becomes so difficult. And so, you know, as you alluded to, we see that so many times. And a lot of times the healing that needs to take place is not so much of a therapeutic / psychological healing, but again, indeed, a spiritual healing. And of course, we have in our faith the sacrament of reconciliation. And a lot of people seem to think, well, if I go to the sacrament of reconciliation, then it should take care of that stuff. Well, not exactly. You know, sacrament of reconciliation, of course, absolves that mortal sin or any sin that we may have on the soul. But the remnants, if you will, of those events in our lives are still there. And those things need to be dealt with from a spiritual standpoint. And so it's working with these couples, kind of like we do in the sacrament of reconciliation, of kind of doing an examination of conscience of all the different aspects and areas of their lives where sex might have been involved, whether it's premarital sex or abuse or porn addiction and all those different things, but kind of compiling this list as a result of that examination of conscience and then taking them through a series of prayers to have those things cast out and to bring them back again to that state of normalcy.
Yeah, and Teresa, you look at it, it's the biggest issue that we deal with. And why? Because in the very beginning, in Genesis, God created them male and female. It's who we are. It's our identity. And so, as we know, there is a Satan and all his minions that are out there. It seems as though he's hijacked this area of our lives more than anything else because it has so much damage. You know, in Scripture, we'll see that all sin against God is bad, but the sins of the flesh that we do to our body is much worse because it's internal. Nobody can see it, but we all feel it, and we don't know how to deal with it, so it ends up being this confused identity of people, and then we bring that into our marriages, and we just do what we think we're supposed to do, not wanting to cause hurt or pain, but I'm telling you, the devastation that we hear on a daily basis from this situation is riveting.
Do you think that more people are coming forward, or have you seen this? And by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection this morning, we're having a very important conversation, as we do every month, with Julie and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House, thealexanderhouse.org. We're talking about the sins in our past, the problems in our past, or maybe it's not even something that we did on our own. Maybe it was forced upon us in some way, and how it affects our relationships, especially relationships as husband and wife. Are all the discussions, are they giving people, let's say, a better, I don't want to say comfort level because it's still difficult to talk about, but do they find it a little bit less challenging to maybe speak up about something in their own past given what we're seeing being brought out now in the church?
Absolutely, Teresa. I'd say kind of more of a courage, if you will, to come forward. You know, you got the Bill Cosby events, you got the Weinsteins, you have the scandals in the church. And so people are seeing people step forward, and I think, in a sense, it's given them a bit of confidence now that I, too, can come forward and kind of share the things that have happened in my life. So, as always, when we have bad or tragic things happen, God has a way of reaching in and pulling out the good. And I think that indeed has been one of the goods from all these different events, is that people are now finding the courage and the comfort to be able to come and say, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what has happened to me. And again, that is where the healing begins.
And the greatest issue that we have both in marriage and in this sin of sexual abuse or sexual misconduct, if you will, it's because we feel like we're so alone and it's so hidden, we don't want anybody to know. And it's our way of, we think it's our way of hiding behind a wall. And yet when we hide behind that wall, we fester in those thoughts that we're not good. We are guilty. We are shameful. We're not made to be the sons and daughters that God created us to be. All that shame comes because it's not talked about. And it's one of those things that said, okay, maybe it happened, but let's just keep moving forward in our lives. We can't move forward if we don't cut off that past.
Yeah. And what else is coming up now that you're seeing more? And by the way, Julie and Greg Alexander with thealexanderhouse.org, and you don't have to live in Texas where they're based in order to get help. They can do this over the phone. They can do it over Skype. And there are many ways to receive their instruction and their advice. alexanderhouse.org. What are the things that you're seeing now? Because you've been at this for a long time. What have you seen change? And Julie, I'll start with you first, in terms of the problems in marriage around this issue of sexuality that you didn't see, let's say, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, when we began our ministry, I tell you, we had most of our calls, the majority of our calls were from women who were calling and crying and discussing things that maybe their husbands were doing or their infidelities outside of the workforce. Or somebody that they were involved in. And I tell you what, now, Teresa, we're getting more calls from men because the women are the ones who are being the ones who are going outside of their marriage, who are doing things that almost taking the control and doing the total opposite of what we should be doing, but more calls from men who are in tears crying because their wives no longer want to be with them because they found someone on Facebook or the internet or someone they work with or things of that nature.
Again, the website is thealexanderhouse.org. Greg, does anything surprise you anymore, or you just kind of brace yourself when you hear these stories? I mean, you keep thinking it can't get any worse, and yet it seems to get worse every day.
You know, it's interesting that you asked that question, Teresa, because you and I were having that very same conversation the other day. It's like nothing surprises us anymore. And it's just like you're just waiting for the next phone call to see what situation exists that these couples are going through, and it's just amazing. And as Julie alluded to earlier, and I think a lot of it is attributed to the fact of our misunderstanding of this beautiful gift that God has given us in our sex and sexuality. I mean, we have couples, Teresa, coming in, 90% of which is dealing with issues from abortion, sterilization, contraception, rape, all kind of sexual abuses, if you will. And that is kind of sometimes, a lot of times, the underlying problem that manifests in all these other areas in their lives, especially to include the infidelity. A lot of the women we find now that are out in the workplace and having these affairs, they've suffered some kind of abuse in their lives growing up as children, and now they just become this promiscuous individual who's going out doing all these different things, and they come back and they say, I don't know why, I can't control it. You know, can you help us? And so, again, it's really coming to understand that, first of all, as in all problems and addictions, admitting the fact that you have a problem, and now let's start working to find some resolve for that particular issue.
We live in a society, Julie and Greg, and Julie, I'll go back to you, of walking wounded, don't we?
It's the walking wounded, and we spread that everywhere we go. Teresa, you are so right. And then, like Greg had said earlier, what is the norm now? That becomes the norm,
right.
And we think, oh, well, that's just who we are. That's just what we'll do. And the problem with that, Teresa, is because the ignorance that's passed on, when we have couples come to see us and the things that they're told, one, in traditional counseling or even in the confessional, what we hear so often is them being given a clean slate, open, whatever you want to do in your marriage is fine as long as it's in the context of marriage.
I had a conversation like that, no kidding, with someone in my family who said, I believe once you're married, you can do anything you want. And I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, pornography is not acceptable. Other things are not acceptable. The church is pretty clear about it. Well, they're married. So what? Doesn't give you license to sin because you're married.
Well,
it's amazing how people justify things.
It's amazing how people justify things, but what Greg and I keep talking about, Teresa, is it is a sacrament. God has parameters, and we receive, when we participate with God in the sacrament, we receive the grace he intended for that specific sacrament. And so think about this. Think about going to, up to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And if we went, oh, you know, I don't like how this tastes, so we spit it out. Or we go outside and we say, oh, I'm going to put it in my pocket and I'm going to throw it in the dirt because I don't want anybody to know that I'm not going to accept the gift. Think of that. That's what we do every day in our sexuality. And yet then we're told, there's nothing wrong with that. You can do that. It's okay.
Well, the problem is what we're seeing, unfortunately, we pray that this will get straightened out, is that so many people who are charged with teaching don't believe it either, and that's why they haven't been teaching it. We'll be right back. We're going to have another segment with Julie and Greg. We do this every month, Mornings on Marriage. Check out their website, their books, their resources. Have them at your parish. They're fantastic. They cut right to the chase. TheAlexanderHouse.org. We'll be right back.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's looking back at you at age 22? What do you hope to say about that child at age 22? If you're content to say, well, the way kids are turning out nowadays, counting my blessings. Parole officer says one of the nicest children he has. Or would you rather say he's 1 in 100? Morals, compassion, seeks God. Are you prepared to be a 1 in 100 parent then? You can't parent like the bulk of parents anymore. You will supervise far higher. You will screen out toxic media sewage at a rate unlike all of your friends, perhaps your family. No guarantees as to what will be looking back at you at age 22. But you want to be able to say, I think he's 1 in 100. Then you be a 1 in 100 parent.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Not easy to talk about, but it must be addressed, especially in marriage, because marriage, as Julie and Greg have been saying, is a sacrament. They remind us of the beauty of the sacrament of marriage and their great work, and they know what they're talking about because been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, had own issues in their marriage, and this is what led them to do what they're doing now full time. And you need to get a copy of their book also, Marriage 911, How God Saved Our Marriage and Can Save Yours Too. And they join us once a month here on Catholic Connection, and we also do a lot of work with them and with their ministry, speak with them as often as we can. And I know that you're going to be in the London, Ontario area this month too. So check out their website, which is, as I mentioned, thealexanderhouse.org. Now, what we've been talking about really, and I think God's timing is always perfect, of course, this month we know that the bishops actually right now are meeting in Baltimore talking about these issues, and will hopefully, when this is over, have some more information and where we go from here. But it really is, even for the church in general, Julie and Greg, before we get down to the whole marriage issue, the sexual healing has to start in the church, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's kind of like in the home where the parents, especially the father, kind of sets the pace, if you will, and everybody else kind of follows suit. It's kind of the same thing in our church. We have to look to our spiritual fathers to begin to set the pace for what is right. For those who have fallen, to acknowledge the fact that, hey, I've fallen, what I've done is wrong, I'm repenting, and I'm starting over. And so that gives us hope. You know, whereas in fact we hear so much defense other things that have happened, failure to acknowledge what I'm doing is wrong, and it just continues to perpetuate this state of confusion. We don't know where we're at. We don't know what it is that we need to do. And so starting there, having those acknowledgments, but then standing from the pulpit and speaking the fullness of truth, that's going to give us the hope and encouragement we need to write our lives.
Julie, how important is it, do you think, that we really encourage and continue to encourage, in addition to what you're doing with marriage, our church leaders to make sure they get to the bottom of this with the priests who do have, as Greg said, some of these issues? Because we're seeing the fallout, as Greg said, of not having the good examples.
Well, it's huge, Teresa, because we need the leadership. But I'll tell you, I know just from our conversations in the last 20 years of learning about the beautiful teachings of the church in terms of sex and sexuality, it is amazing how many leaders in the church and priests that we will talk to and say, oh, we can't talk about that. Oh, no, that I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Oh, I haven't learned that. I didn't. When I was in the seminary, I heard that it was wrong, and what the Humana Vitae and the things that Pope Paul VI was bringing out, there was such a division, Teresa, such a division, because the need is the answer to us having life.
So the actual program that you have, the course that you have, Sexual Healing, Greg, how does that work? And can people find that on your website?
Yes, it's going to be on our website. Again, it's much of what we've already talked about. It's kind of taking them through these questions, if you will, getting them to evaluate their past life and all these different areas, and to really call to mind how they might have fallen in those areas or been transgressed against as well. And kind of creating this list, but then coming back and kind of going through a confession, if you will, renouncing the things that have happened, and then the spiritual prayers to pray for the healing to be had. You know, what many times we fail to understand, Teresa, by virtue of our baptism, we have the power and authority to cast out and to break those chains that bind us, if you will. But we always seem to think we have to wait for a priest or a bishop or somebody else, and from a cleric, if you will, to come in to do those things. We can do them ourselves. And so this leading couples to that understanding, empowering them through these different prayers, again, to break free of those chains that bind them.
And I don't want to put all the blame on the leaders in the church, because at the end of the day, we're all responsible, and we're adults, and we have a brain, and the internet is available, and we spend a lot of time on it, and you know, it's been with us for quite a long time now, so there are resources out there. But the bad teaching or lack of teaching, they are responsible for that, for those who didn't do that, and they'll be held accountable, and Scripture it says it's very serious for those who are in teaching authority. But how much do you think, Julie, because I know it wasn't your case, and Greg, you're the one who really at first cracked open the catechism and the different documents on marriage and the sacrament of marriage. Julie, how much is it, do you think, that Catholics were just, for so long, just not taught?
They're not taught, Teresa, but what Greg and I had to come to the realization of is we were angry and mad when we started. When Greg learned these teachings of the church, he came to me and we were sharing and our hearts were on fire, but then we had a sense of anger and resentment in us.
Yeah, same thing for me and Dom, same thing, yeah.
Oh, man, but then soon Greg came to me and he said, Greg, you know what, Julie? We said, I do. We are the ones who got married in the church. This is our sacrament. We need to challenge ourselves to learn it and to live it, because where we have the issues too still, Teresa, we know that we're wounded and where our past is not good. The theological issues, yes, we know how it should be and where we need to be, but the problem is in the middle, and that's where Greg and I are here to help couples to say, this is how you need to forgive the past, and this is what you need to do to move forward. Part of the problem is we look and say, great, the church's teachings, now that I've discovered them, they're beautiful. They're amazing. Uh-oh, now what? How mm-hmm. do I get those? How do I live that out? How do I do it? And that's exactly what we do in this course, is to walk with couples to say, you know what, heal those wounds. But now this is not only how you move forward, but this is what you can and this is what you cannot do in terms of sex and sexuality in the confines of marriage.
Yeah, the good news in all of this is that I think in the last, over this summer, since everything has been breaking with the church and continues to develop as we see the attorneys general going in and the feds going in now, is that I think it's waking up in many ways, the sleeping giant, where, you know, the people who are listening to our shows, they're faithful and they're willing to invest and grow in their faith. But many people who are reading, even listening, saying, you know, although I was tried to be a faithful Catholic, I wasn't doing enough on my own, and realizing that they are co-workers in the faith, that they have a responsibility in the faith in order to embrace it and then to go out and teach it. It's not just up to, and you guys are doing exactly that, Father so-and-so or Bishop so-and-so. Yes, they have a responsibility, but we as co-workers have a responsibility. Greg, I'll give you the last section here.
No, I think you're exactly right, Teresa. In fact, Julie and I are in the middle of attending a six-week study course on Humana Vitae in our parish. And every week, a large majority of hands go up and say, God, how come we never heard this? God, this is incredible. God, we need more of this. And so, again, having those different outlets, allowing for this information to be learned and had, and as Julie mentioned earlier, to learn it, to live it, and now share it. You know, going out through our families, if we are not involved in lay ministry in the church, if we are in lay ministry in the church, stepping up a notch and getting involved and make sure people come to know and understand these truths, because, again, as John 8:31 tells us, the truth is what sets us free. And so it's going back and learning the authentic truth of what God intended, not what the world has to say, but those things that God has intended that's going to allow us to experience this authentic freedom in our lives.
All right. So again, Julie, as we wrap up, where can people go for the information on this sexual healing course, and what else can they find at thealexanderhouse.org?
They can go to thealexanderhouse.org, and there's all kinds of programs and resources to do specifically that, Teresa. But for this, it'll be sexual healing, the course. But we have little mini courses. We have resources. And that is what we are determined to do, to provide this for couples to say, again, do not be afraid, but to live the authentic faith that you've been given in the Catholic Church, and you will be set free by living and proclaiming the truth.
Amen. The truth, as in Jesus, will set us free. Thanks to Julie and Greg Alexander for the great work. Again, check it out, thealexanderhouse.org. More Catholic Connection coming up. Stay tuned.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need, he can heal, they've seen him heal before, and yet somehow because he loves him, he stays, and Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we asked for. The challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Well, this is so exciting. This will jumpstart your morning if you haven't had your coffee yet. It really doesn't need an introduction, especially if you're an EWTN follower, either on radio, TV, or the internet. And, of course, was just at the big EWTN family celebration. I've had the privilege of speaking with Chris Stefanik more than once, and he's very dynamic. And what a great book. I love this, Chris. I'm so excited about this. I Am, Rewrite Your Name, Reroute Your Life. Very cool. So what prompted this particular book? You've written many, and you're a great teacher and speaker internationally. But what was on your heart when you were thinking about this particular book? And it is a devotional of sorts, because it starts out with a meditation and, a statement, I am powerful, I am new. And you're really trying to help people look at themselves differently, correct?
That's right. This book is about mastering that critical voice inside your head. Really, your happiness depends largely on how you talk to yourself. And replacing that critical voice with the Word of God, with what He says about you. And, the genesis of this book was, I've given so many events. And I kind of gave this as a little side point in one of my talks. And a number of people who would come up to me afterwards and say, that 5 minutes right there, that idea, that's going to change my life. I need to go home and start doing the interior work and jumping inside that head game you're constantly playing. And taking hold of what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I got enough comments in that 5 minutes and realized, whoa, people need this. Whoa, I need this. And it got clearer and clearer in prayer that, I'm going to write a book to help people, to empower people to jump into that head game and win.
Now, you're married and you're a dad, and I'm sure you know that this is a huge issue. Self-esteem is a huge issue, especially among young girls and women. I deal with this all the time. Yeah. I addressed it in my book, Extreme Makeover, and Walk Softly and Carry a Great Bag. So many women come up to me and say, gosh, I have no confidence. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not a good enough mom. But are you seeing this in men as well, Chris?
Oh, it's everywhere. I mean, this is an incredible crisis in our era of self-loathing. It's really strange because we've never told people more frequently to love themselves. I don't think we've ever had so many people hate themselves or doubt themselves or walk through life with, 20% of the amount of confidence that they're supposed to have as beloved children of God, constantly second-guessing ourselves. It's amazing how we rip ourselves to shreds. And it's a great game of the devil. Maybe it's in part because we have this secular worldview that we're all living within, where we tell people, essentially, you're no more than a lump of self-aware molecules, but believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're hearing the double message. Somehow it's gotten under the skin even of the children of God, where we go through life just beating ourselves up.
Well, isn't that so like the devil, followers. Though? Because that's what he does. I mean, I heard a great Protestant preacher say once, the devil will convince you that sinning is no big deal. And then when you do sin, he'll never let you forget it.
Right. The accuser might be my favorite name given to the devil in the Bible. The accuser of our brothers, right? An accuser wants you in chains. He wants to rip you to shreds. And the advocate, if you're in a trial somewhere, the accuser is going to be the guy trying to get you behind bars. An advocate is standing up for you, trying to make sure that you're free. And Scripture calls the Holy Spirit the advocate. So we have a battle between heaven and hell meeting between our ears, essentially between the advocate and the accuser. And we really, here's something that we all overlook. This book's been revolutionary for me because I realized the ways I'm doing this in my life all the time. We actually have to choose sides in that war. I've grown up with this attitude. I think most of us have it, that we are just passive recipients of whatever's going on inside our heads, of whatever's happening in our emotional lives today. Today I feel like this. Today I'm thinking this. Or we beat ourselves up and rip ourselves to shreds, and we barely even notice we're doing it. It just kind of happens. We're on autopilot. And it's really important that scripture, again, from St. Paul, we take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. It is so critical that we get into that war and we pick sides.
Yeah, because if we forget it, if we get caught up in the negativity, then we're not fulfilling our role that God assigned for us. And then we're impacting negatively what He has in store for us, which not only changes us, but through evangelization can change the world one person at a time.
That's right. Usually the negative names the devil picks for you to label yourselves by, that name will run directly contrary to whatever God has planned for you in life. And the devil is going to work hard your whole life to make sure that you label yourself in a way that blinds you to the call of God. I think of St. Peter, Jesus' first encounter with Peter. Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Mm-hmm. He labeled himself, I'm a sinful man. That was his name. And essentially, he was also saying, I'm incapable, I'm weak. He was saying a lot of things in that statement. When he realized that Jesus had picked him, he said, hey, I am not worthy to be picked, right? And if you've been to the Holy Land, there's one out of the way place that I bring my pilgrims to. Not every group goes to, because it's a good hour from the Sea of Galilee. It's Caesarea Philippi.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Been there many times. Go ahead, explain it, because it's so powerful. Go ahead.
Mind-blowing. This is where Jesus renamed Peter the Rock. And this is, this is an hour in an air-conditioned tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
For Jesus, this must have been many days walking up and down hills with rocks. And I mean, just way out of the way on the border of Lebanon. This is not in the way anywhere in Israel. But there's a huge rock there overshadowing the town. And that's where Jesus said to Peter, you're the rock. And I think he put a lot of thought into that journey, because he wanted to make sure that every time someone said Peter's new name, he pictured a huge rock. hey, massive rock, would you please pass the fish, right?
Yeah.
Good morning, you huge, huge chunk of granite. Why? Because how we act comes from how we see ourselves.
Right.
And Peter's name needed to be reversed, re-engineered inside of his head, so that he'd act and live differently. He needed to see himself on a gut level as a rock, so he could be a rock-solid leader of the church. That's what our Lord does for us. Jumps in, renames us, gives us new life.
We are talking with Chris Stefanik. Let me just reintroduce you again, Chris, in case someone's just tuning in. I want to remind them that we're talking about your brand-new book and that they need to get it quickly to go to the EWTN Religious Catalog. Also, Chris's website, which is reallifecatholic.com. Chris Stefanik is an author, speaker, internationally acclaimed, also TV show host, and you're very familiar with the great programs he does on EWTN. And he's also a wonderful husband and a proud dad of six children. The book is I Am, and I love the fact that the main title is in caps, I Am, and then the subtitle, Rewrite Your Name, Reroute Your Life. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to reset the interview in case anyone's tuning in so they know where to get the book and the name of it. Go ahead.
That's it. And I was in an event recently. A woman came up to me afterwards. She had tears in her eyes. She said, Chris, I had 12 miscarriages.
Oh.
And for years, I believed I am cursed. And I didn't even know I was telling myself that. Tonight, I claim the reality that I'm a beloved daughter of God. And what struck me about what she said, I didn't even realize I was telling myself that. Something so horrific, like I'm cursed. I mean, she's walking through life inserting I am cursed. And didn't know it. Usually these horrific things we tell ourselves for years that grate on us, that wear us down, we don't even know they're there. I don't think St. Peter walks through life realizing that he thought he was incapable and weak and a sinful man. It's that encounter with the Lord that opens our eyes to what we've been telling ourselves. And how we live our lives comes from how we see ourselves. So, yeah, we can't get this wrong. The book is just a series of meditations to breathe life into you, to teach you to jump into the head game and to say the right thing to yourself, to preach it to yourself out loud if you got to.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage people to stand in front of a mirror and say the right name to themselves. I don't think God gave us his words so we'd wait for someone to preach to us with a microphone or just at mass or just when we turn on Catholic radio. I think God revealed his word to us so we'd start preaching ourselves.
And so do you have questions in here for the readers? I'm looking at the first chapter, day one. How many days do you cover here, Chris? The first chapter deals with I Am New, which is great.
Yeah, there's 33 days of meditations. And there's some really hard-hitting, at the end of the book, things to make sure that the meditations get ingrained into your soul. Like learning how to name your number one negative I am, and learning how to identify the exact opposite of that negative lie, and to replace that lie with the truth in the Word of God. And I think things like going back into the past can be really important. I think it can be really important to go to counseling if you can't quite get over the negative names. But I think sometimes we give too much time to the past.
Right.
The most important thing is if you can do it, that you jump in right now, wherever you're at, and start replacing whatever past name you're giving yourself, wherever it comes from, whether it be from abuse or from bullying or from a failure in your life that's made you convinced that you are a failure. No, person's a failure. It's just an event, right? and starting today that you jump in and start replacing that with God's word. But we go through all that, and it's I'm beyond excited. I'm beyond excited. Which, I mean, the healing that's already happened to people. We're, I could see that the response from people and the fact that we're just about out of books. So I have to reorder them. It's good. Really incredible.
And, well, you're hitting a nerve. And we only have about 3 minutes left. I wanted to get back to the point, Chris, and you said it. By the way, if you're just joining us, Chris Stefanik's latest book, I Am, Rewrite Your Name, Reroute Your Life. You said something in the beginning that I think is crucial and really, I think, sums it up nicely. We are in such a secularized world where so many in the culture are telling us that we're nothing but a blob of tissue or a bunch of atoms swirling around. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we are supposed to have big self-esteem and feel great about ourselves. We're buying into this secularism. We're going after more stuff or trying to do more perverse things, thinking that doing this or doing that is going to make us happy. And in the end, none of it is making anybody happy. If you look at the big picture, if you stop and actually talk to people, that's why we have such a high suicide rate and so many other problems in terms of broken marriages and other things. This should be a real, I think, a wake-up call for us in the faith to realize the gifts that we have in the church and to look out and see how empty the world really is.
That's right. And, my gosh, identity politics, identity. Everything's around identity today. And it's time that we as children of God rise up and say, hey, we have the best possible identity. That it comes from the fundamental belief that God created us for a purpose, loves us so much that what are you worth? What's your net worth? My net worth is one Eucharist. It's God the Son to God the Father. And I am destined for eternal glory. There is no more life-giving, positive, beautiful identity offered by any philosophy, religion, or anything, ever. This is incredible. But as children of God, we should look different from other people. We should look as if we believe this stuff. And we got to, if we're going to be convincing to the world, it's time to jump into the head game and start claiming that truth and aligning how we talk to ourselves with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, with what he revealed about us. So what the books on the website on realizecatholic.com, sign up for the newsletter when you're there if you don't want to give it a plug to that, because we're coming up with other materials that are going to go along with this in the next few months. And I'm so excited about what's coming down the pipes for this. We're going to be doing some video programs and stuff to help you to more deeply jump into the head game. So, but if you're in our newsletter, you're going to find out about that too.
Chris, thanks so much. Great work. Keep it up and always appreciate all of your programming on EWTN and your great ministry. Author, speaker, dad, husband, Chris Stefanik, internationally acclaimed, of course. I Am, Rewrite Your Name, Rewrite Your Life. Look, brothers and sisters, God does not make junk. You are a daughter or son of the King. Never forget that. We'll be right back.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road. Stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
It's time to take control of your healthcare journey and experience healthcare fully alive with CMF Curo. Krista and Justin say,
we love having the understanding, decision-making, and control of our healthcare in our own hands and having the option to bear one another's burdens. But most importantly, we love helping others when they need medical support.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry that values the health of the whole person, spirit, mind, and body.
To experience healthcare fully alive for you and your family, visit mycatholichealthcare.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Catholic Connection. And just remember, if you're a new listener or not, if you've been on board with us for a while, you may not know that we are co-produced actually by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And you can find us both online, all kinds of great resources at EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Now, I give you those websites quite often because I want to remind you, if you heard something on the show today, yesterday, last week, you can go to those websites and you can go to the archive sections or you can look them up and we have records of them for you. And if you heard, let's say, maybe about a book or a document, you can certainly go to EWTN in the religious catalog to order an item, or you can look up any type of encyclical or papal document or information about any of our shows there as well. So these are great resources in addition to great Catholic radio every day. We'll see you next time on Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.